A protest last summer involving women drivers in Saudi Arabia was that nation's small piece of the Arab Spring movement, and it seemed to do little but attract media attention and arouse religious authorities opposed to women driving and other examples of women empowerment in the strictly Islamic nation. One of the women behind the wheel, Shema Jastania, was sentenced to 10 lashes for her crimes. But the quiet support for women's rights within Saudi Arabia gave the government pause. The royal family apparently weighed in to get a pardon, but police in the city of Jeddah claimed they were determined to deliver the lashing. This week, though, after months of delay, authorities have decided not to punish Shema. They issued a warning that she will be lashed if she is caught driving again, though. We spoke with Iman El-Nafjan, a proponent of the women's driving movement and author of the Saudi Woman's blog. We reached her in Riyadh, and she told us that this dispute raises a tough issue for every Saudi woman.
It's a central issue, though a lot of people are silent about it. Just the other day, I was talking to a young Saudi man, and I asked him about his colleagues at work. He was pro-women driving, but he told me that saying that in his social circles is similar to coming out as a homosexual in the West.
That is just, I mean, that just makes it seem like there's no change possible ever in Saudi Arabia, even though everybody quietly believes that this should happen.
No, I think change will come about, but not necessarily because of people speaking out, although that does have a huge role in it, but also because of economical reasons. Saudis can no longer afford drivers, and my generation is highly educated. 58% of women, 58 of college graduates are women. So I think that for the generation that's younger than me, they're just not going to be to accept just sitting at home because they don't have the transportation or the means to get transportation.
So the message to the Saudi authorities is change is a-coming. Why do you think the authorities seem to be so intimidated by the case of Shaima? They decided not to punish. There's reports that maybe she's pardoned. It does seem as though they're very, very unwilling to take a hard line here.
She's never going to be punished. The issue is more of appeasing the ultra-conservatives. The judge who gave her that sentence is an ultra-conservative and wanted to make a point, especially after the King's speech about allowing women into the parliament and allowing women to vote. So he wanted to take a stand in some way, and that was the way it came out. But mainly for Shema, it was just bad luck.
Finally, are you cynical about the way things work in Saudi Arabia, given all the sort of backroom dealings and sort of quiet dishonesties that are involved in day-to-day life in Saudi Arabia?
I think that the issue in Saudi Arabia is much more complex. I mean, the courtrooms, they haven't codified the law, so it's sitting at interpretations, individual interpretations of, you know, religious texts. So that's the issue. And when it comes to dishonesty in society, I think that's human nature. I mean, everybody keeps up appearances.
Well, I hope someday to wave to you in a really dreadful traffic jam in Riyadh, and you'll be in the driver's seat.
I really hope so, too.
Thank you. Take care.
Thanks.
Women's rights advocate and blogger Iman El-Nafjan in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.